Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Showalter, your host for Science Elements, a digest of cutting-edge research from the American Chemical Society, the world's largest scientific society. Good times and great science were on a roll last week in New Orleans. Renowned for its cuisine, chefs, and as a global hub of the energy industry, the Big Easy was a terrific host city for the 245th ACS National Meeting and Exposition. More than 14,000 scientists and others attended the meeting, which happened to have the theme CHEF, which stands for the Chemistry of Energy and Food. The meeting featured almost 12,000 reports and other presentations on scientific topics that involve chemistry, which of course includes pretty much everything. But at the top of the agenda was the quest for new, sustainable sources of energy and a healthier, more abundant food supply. We have a lot to cover, so let's dive in. So in the next few minutes, you'll hear about how reducing food waste could help feed billions of more people, how an artificial leaf could revolutionize sustainable energy in the developing world, and finally, how scientists made chocolate tastier and healthier. According to a renowned food scientist, families can be key players in a revolution needed to feed the world. In a keynote talk at the ACS National Meeting in New Orleans, John Floros described that often invisible waste in food, 4 out of every 10 pounds produced in the United States alone, and the challenges of feeding a global population of 9 billion people. Floros, dean of the College of Agriculture at Kansas State University, pointed out that the world will need a surge of scientific innovations in agriculture to feed its rapidly expanding population. It also will require action to reduce a terrible waste of food that gets too little attention. Floros cited estimates that in many developing countries, up to half of the food harvested from farmers' fields is lost before reaching the consumers. That waste can occur due to spoilage from improper storage of grain during transportation or from pests. Rats and mice alone eat or spoil 20% of the world's food supply due to contamination with their urine and feces. However, Floros said, a different kind of waste occurs in the United States and some other developed countries. He cited government studies that suggest that the average family in the United States throws away 20 pounds of food a month. That amounts to more than $2,000 a year for a family of four. This waste includes food that has gone uneaten and spoiled in refrigerators and on pantry shelves, as well as food that people throw away after cooking. Uneaten food actually rivals paper, plastic, and other refuse as the number one material in some municipal landfills. Scientists know that food waste in landfills releases methane gas as it decomposes. Methane is about 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas that fosters global warming. Floros pointed out that reducing food waste would contribute to solving other great global challenges that society faces in the 21st century beyond feeding a booming population. Wasting food wastes the fresh water needed to grow it, at a time when 1.2 billion people lack access to clean water. It also wastes energy, fertilizers, pesticides, and other resources used in the food supply. But Floros emphasized that supplying more food is only part of the challenge. He noted that millions of people in some developing countries are becoming more affluent. In the past, people were satisfied with food that filled them up and sustained life. Increasingly, Floros said, they will demand food that is convenient to prepare, certified as safe, and highly nutritious, as well as tasting good. He cited the People's Republic of China as an example. The middle class in China is now larger than the U.S. population and is increasing in size year by year. People in China are now consuming almost 3 times as much meat compared to a few decades ago. Demand for convenience foods also is rising with the growth of the urban population. Floros also pointed out several other food-related challenges that lie ahead. For instance, water is becoming scarcer, as is fertile farmland. Global climate change may stress these resources even further. The demand for sustainable energy may divert more cropland to production of crops for biofuel production. Economic conditions threaten less investment in agricultural research and development. Drought and other extreme weather could impact food production. And consumption of too much food and less nutritious foods underpins epidemics in obesity and type 2 diabetes. Floros warned that not enough is being done to resolve these complex issues that are critical for providing up to 10 billion people with a nutritious diet. He concluded that consumers, industry, universities, and governments all need to pitch in. The first step, he said, is more awareness of these issues and the need for action on multiple levels of society. While Floros focused on food, Another prominent speaker described an extraordinary development in sustainable energy that could help greatly expand the use of personalized energy in the developing world. Daniel Nocera, the driving force behind the world's first practical artificial leaf, announced that an innovative feature has been added to the device that could make it even more suitable for providing people in developing countries and remote areas with electricity. The innovation gives the leaf the ability to self-heal damage that occurs during production of energy. Nocera described the advance during the Kavli Foundation Innovations in Chemistry lecture at this ACS national meeting. Nocera explained that the leaf mimics the ability of real leaves to produce energy from sunlight and water. However, unlike the complex photosynthesis process in real leaves, the device uses a simple, catalyst-coated wafer of silicon. Dropped into a jar of water and exposed to sunlight, catalysts in the device break down water into its components, hydrogen and oxygen. These gases bubble up and can be collected and used as fuel to produce electricity in fuel cells. Surprisingly, some of the catalysts developed for use in the artificial leaf device actually heal themselves. Nocera said this is an important innovation that eases one of the concerns about initial use of the leaf in developing countries and other remote areas. Nocera, who is the Patterson Rockwood Professor of Energy at Harvard University, explained that the artificial leaf likely would find its first use in providing personalized electricity to individual homes in areas that lack access to traditional electric power resources. For instance, less than one quart of drinking water would be enough to provide about 100 watts of electricity 24 hours a day. Earlier versions of the leaf required pure water. That's because bacteria eventually formed biofilms on the leaf's surface, shutting down production. Nocera said that self-healing enables the artificial leaf to run on the impure, bacteria-contaminated water found in nature. He and his colleagues figured out a way to tweak the conditions so that part of the catalyst falls apart, denying bacteria the smooth surface needed to form a biofilm. Then the catalyst can heal and reassemble. Nocera said that about 3 billion people today live in areas that lack access to traditional electric production and distribution systems. That population will grow by billions in the decades ahead. About 1 billion people in the developing world already lack reliable access to clean water. Thus, he suspects a clear need exists for a simple device like the artificial leaf that's compatible with local conditions. In our final story this week, we have good news for chocoholics. Scientists from the United Kingdom say that chocolate, which is already renowned as a healthy treat when enjoyed in moderation, could become even more beneficial if manufacturers embrace new technology that infuses it with fruit juice. Stefan Bonn, who led the research, presented these findings at the ACS National Meeting in New Orleans. Bonn explained that the technology would allow manufacture of chocolate with fruit juice, vitamin C water, or even Diet Cola, replacing up to 50% of the fat. The juice is in the form of microbubbles that help chocolate retain its lush, velvety taste. The process also prevents sugar bloom, the unappetizing white film that coats the surface of chocolate that has been on the shelf for a while. Bond said this approach maintains the things that make chocolate chocolatey, but with fruit juice instead of fat. Now the researchers are hoping the food industry will take the next steps and use the technology to make tasty, lower-fat chocolate bars and other candy. Bonn explained that chocolate has high levels of healthful plant-based substances termed antioxidants or flavonoids, but the confection's high fat and sugar content are a downside. A 2-ounce serving of premium dark chocolate may contain up to 13 grams of fat. That's 20% of the total daily fat recommended for a person who eats 2,000 calories per day. Much of that fat is the unhealthy, saturated variety. Substituting fruit juice or cola also reduces the overall sugar content of the candy. The technology works with dark, milk, and even white chocolate. Bond's team at the University of Warwick in the United Kingdom has made chocolate infused with apple, orange, and cranberry juice. Bond said fruit juice infused candy tastes like a hybrid between traditional chocolate and a chocolate juice confectionery. Since the juice is spread out in the chocolate, it doesn't overpower the taste of the treat. He notes that the technology adds an interesting twist to the range of chocolate confectionery products available. Bond's team used fruit juices and other food-approved ingredients to form a Pickering emulsion. Named after a British chemist, the process helps stabilize combinations of liquids like the egg yolk and oil in mayonnaise that normally would not mix together. Chocolate is an emulsion of cocoa butter and water, or milk, combined with cocoa powder. Lecithin appears on the ingredient label in many chocolates because it is an emulsifier that fosters the process. Pickering's method used solid particles rather than an emulsifier, and Bond's team embraced that century-old approach in their work. Well, that's all for now. I'm Dr. Steve Showalter for the American Chemical Society. Science Elements is adapted for podcasts from ACS Press Releases and the ACS Weekly Press Pack. To access our most recent Press Pack, go to www.acs.org/pressroom. From all of us at Science Elements, thanks for listening.